In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. It's a great blessing to be with you this morning. I thank my dear brother, my brothers in Christ, Father Mark, a dear friend of many, many years, classmate, Father Peter, Father John, Deacon Clint, and our dear chanters, and all of you. Many of you may not, well, I hope you remember. I was blessed to, this was my first assignment. I came to this beautiful community I remember when Jim Paulus of blessed memory asked me, he goes, how long have you been a priest, Father Jordan? I said, about 48 hours. And President Ted and I were, it was just a blessing to come here. Literally days after ordination, a deacon one day, a priest one day, and to serve your beautiful community as an assistant for 4 years, so 93 to 97. And I want to share with you, you may remember in 97, as you know, our bishop sometimes doesn't give us a lot of notice. And it was, as we say in Greek, a harmolipi. It was a joyful sorrow because this is our first family, and Holy Trinity will always be a dear family to President Ted and I. Our firstborn George, many of you, our council members remember they used to hold George because he wouldn't sit still at the chanter stand, and somehow would always make it to the narthex, and the parish council would hold George or take hands because he was a pretty big baby. And our George, if you can believe, he's a second lieutenant in the Army, a young officer, graduating from the Engineer Corps, newly married. He's a newlywed. And yes, President Ted is going to be a yaya. I'm going to be a papu. But I wanted to share with you my last Sunday here almost 30 years ago, 28 years ago, you gave me this cross. You gave me this cross. Love, Holy Trinity, Dallas, Texas. I need this print. My eyes were much better 28 years ago. June 26, 1997. My mother's always sharing Greek proverbs. There's always great wisdom in Proverbs, and I wrote down one that my mom shared with me, and I thought it had a nice connection to today's gospel. And some of you know this proverb, very well known, "Ithalasa eyene yaurti," the sea becomes yogurt, "ke then echome kutalia," literally means the sea has turned to yogurt when we are without spoons. And if you look at what the proverb is saying, opportunity lost can never be regained. Opportunity lost can never be regained. And St. Peter today saw an opportunity, and he didn't want to lose it. Peter asked our Lord, "May I come and be with you on the water?" And our Lord said, "Come." And Peter, in fact, he walked on the water. He notices the storm, and he begins to sink. Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught him and said, "Man of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" It's important to remember that Jesus did not say, "Why did you fail?" Jesus, in fact, is encouraging Peter. He's doing great. Jesus did not say to Peter that you had no faith. What does he say? Man of little faith. The Lord recognized the potential in Peter. And Jesus was telling Peter, do not stop focusing on me. Do not stop focusing on God. Peter, in fact, was growing. He was growing as a disciple in a very difficult storm. He dared to be different. He dared to be different. The other disciples, they just sat and they watched. Anyone can sit and watch. It takes a person of faith to leave the boat and to take those courageous steps to walk on the water. It's easy to look at Peter and to criticize and say he failed. But the important lesson from Peter is that he knew he was sinking. All of us will sink in the waters of despair, in the waters of sin, in the waters of temptation. That's why Christ is in our dome. He's perfect. He is sinless. The problem today, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the challenge is how many of us confess that we are sinking and we don't reach out to Jesus. Peter cried out for Jesus. Peter did not fail. The fathers tell us he did not fail. He faced the storm and he grew as a Christian in the storm. Remember, Jesus, he never promised us that life would be without storms. But what did our Lord say? I will be with you always. I will be with you always. If you look at the scriptures prayerfully, God rarely tells us explicitly what to do. God instead reveals to the faithful, to you, his good people, who he is. Presbyteria Balanik, a beautiful writer, theologian, she wrote, "The most important aspect of Christianity is not the work we do, but the relationship we maintain with Jesus Christ and the surrounding influences and qualities produced by that relationship." The lives of the majority of saints was one big storm. In a few days, we commemorate a very important saint on Tuesday, the 24th, Saint Cosmas of Ayatollo. Here is this beautiful monk, faithful monk, in the beautiful monastery of Philotheo. And this is now, just to give you a little time frame, this is before the Greek Revolution. And he was in Mount Athos because we know the monastic communities have been there for over 1,000 years. And just so you know, the tradition for a monk, for a monastic, is when you enter a monastery, you stay there your whole life. You don't leave. And here is this young monk, Saint Cosma, and he feels a calling because he knows that the people are suffering in Greece at that time. It had become now under the Ottomans now for slavery, the Ottoman Turks, for hundreds of years. And he knew the people were hurting. He knew the people were losing their faith. And God called him to leave, which was, again, it didn't happen. And he gets a blessing to leave the monastery. And he goes now. Again, the comfort, the beauty of his beautiful monastery of Mount Athos, and he comes now into enemy territory. Talk about one big storm. And he goes to places where churches have been destroyed, where it's been forbidden, and he goes to the people, the faithful people, and encourages them to live their faith. To live their faith. And he's persecuted, and he suffered a martyr's death on August the 24th. Years before the revolution, and he was preparing them. A beautiful saint that I'd like to leave you with, and a more recent saint, like a Saint Cosma, an amazing woman. And I've read more about her in the last few years. Many of you know her by Mother Maria of Paris, or Saint Maria Skoptsova, a Russian. She was born in 1891 into an aristocratic family in Latvia. And go back now, this is around the Bolsheviks now. They have overthrown the government in 1917 in Russia. And she left for Anapa, which is a town by the Black Sea. And this amazing woman at that time, educated, brilliant, charismatic, she became the first female mayor of that city. She had marital problems, divorced. She had to flee. She was threatened with assassination at the same time she's pregnant. And she joined a number of refugees uprooted by the war, and she made it to France now. She lost her only daughter to meningitis. And this tragedy led her to experience true repentance. Like St. Peter, she was caught in a terrible storm, and she reached out to God. God had a plan for her, and she had a calling. And she met an amazing priest, Father Dimitri, who also became a saint. And she entered monastic life. And she dedicated her life to God and serving the people like St. Cosma. She left the comforts of her monastery to serve those in need. And Mother Maria would care for the destitute Russians, visiting them in the prisons and in the hospitals. And during the Nazi occupation now of France, Mother Maria and Father Dimitri would hide the Jews. And they rescued hundreds. They would actually create falsified baptismal certificates so these dear, precious souls wouldn't be taken off to the concentration camps and suffer death. This dear nun, Mother Maria, she was eventually discovered with Father Dimitri, and she was sent to a woman's concentration camp outside of Berlin. And Mother Maria didn't stop, even in the storm of being in a concentration camp. She would care for the bodies and the souls of her fellow prisoners. And there are stories, beautiful stories of her, how she would trade her bread for needle and thread in order she would embroider icons, religious items that gave her strength on Good Friday, on Holy Friday, on March 31st, 1945, Mother Maria took the place of a young Jewish mother. She changed the document, took her place, and was sent to the gas chamber and offered her life in her place. Her life was extremely difficult, but even through adversity, God prepares and strengthens all of us. Mother Maria, like Peter, like St. Cosma, dared to be different. The examples of St. Peter, St. Cosma, Mother Maria have inspired all of us to embrace and truly worship the Lord. As St. Peter, the simple fisherman, would proclaim when Christ said, "Who am I? What do people say that I am?" What did Peter say? "Truly, you are the Son of the living God." You are the Son of the living God. To discover who Jesus is, we must become God's co-laborers. You are God's cultivation. This is what it means to be God's part of this beautiful church, to be the body of Christ. To be the body of Christ, that means we have to grow. That means that we're connected. St. Paul said we're grafted. Synergo Theou. Co-workers with God, laborers, co-laborers like St. Peter, Mother Maria, and St. Cosma, Savayatolo. We're not alone. We are not alone in our struggles and our storms. We are in the company of the saints. Today, we're a day short of celebrating the leave-taking of the Dormition. We are still, as you heard our beautiful chanters lead us, celebrating still for a week, because last Sunday, the Dormition, the Kimisis, were still in the celebration of the Dormition. And the Mother of God, I still remember as an assistant when Leonidas, when they were placing the, I think a priest shy maybe a year or two, and I remember the scaffolding, and I was just mesmerized looking up, and Leonidas looked down at me and he said, "Povase, are you scared?" I go, "I don't know." He goes, "Come up." And I remember sitting on that scaffold right there below the Mother of God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. My dear brothers and sisters, the Panagia, the Mother of God, she is our greatest intercessor. She encourages us that with God, nothing is impossible. But we have to take her beautiful example. She was the servant. Let it be according to your will. She helps us by accepting His will and always keeping focus on God, even through the storms. When I come into this beautiful church, every church is beautiful, and I see the beautiful icon of the Platitera ton Uranon, which means more spacious than the heavens, the words of Saint Nectarios, who wrote beautiful, beautiful words, homilies on the Panagia. He specifically speaks about the icon of the Platitera and the strength that she gives us, the children of God. He writes, "Our Orthodox Church places the icon of the Theotokos above the sanctuary, which symbolizes that she is between heaven and earth, between the Pantokratora and his struggling church. That is because she is our most powerful intercessor, our mother in heaven, who hears the prayers of all and knows the misfortunes and expectations of all." We're told that the last work made by the hands of Mother Maria, Skoptsovasa, before she suffered martyrdom, that her last piece of work with her hands was the icon of the Panagia, the Mother of God, holding Christ Jesus, his hands and his feet bearing the wounds of the cross. The prayers of the Holy Fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy and save us. Amen. Yeah.